My first trip to missions trip to anywhere was Europe 32 years ago. Changed my life 32 years ago. I went to France, and that's when I heard that phrase, our God is a missionary God. Okay? Changed my life 32 years ago. Okay, so going back to London, this time around with Daniel Che, who is an Operation Mobilization guy, it was like, it was amazing. I haven't done a lot of door-to-door evangelism since, but, you know, we were knocking on the doors of this apartments, and we don't know who's going to open the door, whether they're going to open the door, and what mood or what status of, you know, what kind of clothing they're wearing. One lady just came with covering herself like that, and we don't even know. And I was nervous too, actually, very nervous. And many times, to our surprise, they opened the door and even invite us in. We went into this Muslim family, okay? He was a very devoted Muslim, and I'm just trying to tell you this story to encourage you. And he looked Muslim, and he said, come on in. So we went in with Jackie and myself and an old English lady that we were staying at in London, and with three of us. And we ended up staying there for 90 minutes, hour and 30 minutes. And he did the most of the talking, the Muslim person. And we were just praying and looking for an opportunity to share, something to share, okay? And then when opportunity came, I just kind of interrupted him. And because I knew about Islam, certain amount, so I asked, Muhammad, one day you're going to stand before Allah, your great God. And how do you feel about that day? And I know Islam's fear that day because you really don't know what's going to happen. He didn't want to answer to me. He didn't want to respond to that because he knew, you know, that would undermine his, you know, what he's trying to tell me. But I just kind of like gently nudged him. You know, Muhammad, you're going to stand before him, Allah, one day, and you will be accountable for the life that you lived. And how do you feel about that? And he goes, he admitted, I am terrified. I'm terrified. This religious man who just came back from mosque prayer, and he's terrified. And I kind of saw that. So I asked him, is that okay with you? And he would not answer to me. And then I think it was the Spirit. The Lord placed a real short verse in my heart, and I share it with him. You know, Muhammad, Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So he was kind of caught, you know, caught off guard. And then, you know, atmosphere changed, and he begins to talk again from original sin to, you know, he knows Christianity, and he begins to talk and talk and talk. And we were ready to leave. We need to go back. And at the end, Jackie, who was there, who didn't say a word for 90 minutes, and basically stopped him, hey, Muhammad, I've been listening to you for like an hour and a half, and you know a lot. You're a very religious person, right? But I don't really hear you say your God loves you. Does he love you? She asked that question. And, you know, you had to see. He just tried to brush it off. But I know something precious has been sown in his heart. Do you know, only Christianity, you could tell someone with confidence that God loves you. Do you know that? No other religion could say that. Only Christianity, you could tell anyone, even Muslims, because I know God loves Muslims. They are not our enemies. God loves Muslims. And I know God loves Muhammad. Muhammad, God loves you. With confidence, we could say that. I just pray, you know, that we'll be able to share the love of Christ, right? Love of Christ. Can you tell your neighbor, if you can, and don't just kind of like say that like that, but if you, as you mean it, could you tell your neighbor that God loves you, brother? God loves you, sister? Can you do that? Yeah. Yeah, bro, he loves you, man. But you could look at the person's eye with utmost sincerity. You could share that because that is the gospel truth. Okay? Today, I want to share first sermon of Apostle Paul. How do you like that, right? We talked about the book of Acts is divided into two parts. We started the latter half last week. Entire scene changes. All the casting changes. It's now in Antioch from Jerusalem. From Peter and John, the first generation apostles, to now second generation apostles. Apostle Paul and Barnabas and all these other leaders. The first generation leaders are gone pretty much. They are in the background. Okay? So Paul comes along, the great Apostle Paul, and he preaches his first recorded sermon. I'm sure it is not his first sermon, but it is first recorded sermon, and you should be curious. I know we have a lot of great preachers in history. Spurgeon, Martin Lloyd-Jones, right? And England, you go to England, you could visit those places. Everyday church, by the way, this church right here, 300 some years old, John Wesley preached here. We were here. John Wesley actually preached there, right? All these great sermons. But if there is one great sermon that I would like to know, is the great sermon that was preached by Apostle himself, apostles, right? What did Paul preach? And we're going to take a look at it, okay? This is the everyday church that we were staying in for 8 days. His name is Chris right here with me, and he's the pastor who is the leader of our team. And this is our team with Jeon-do-san with a gift that she got. And I took that picture. Can you see it? She looked like Queen of Sheba, right? Right, okay, next picture. If you look at this picture, this is the makeup of London. Do you see the mixed diversity? You can see right away, right? Indians, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Muslims, like you name it. This is London, multi-ethnic city. And New York is going toward that, just like Antioch Church. Okay, next picture. Okay, he's not he used to be a Muslim. He's from Iran. He's a church member. And talking to someone like that, and I had an opportunity to speak with many Muslims this time around. I used to fear them. I used to have this stereotype toward Muslims. But, you know, among other great things that Lord has done in my life during this trip, he opened my heart toward non-Asians, right? Especially the Muslims. So I had a chance to speak to him. Okay, so let me read it. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem, but they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath, they went into the synagogue and sat down after the reading from the law and the prophets. The rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say and say it." Okay? This is what happened. Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. Acts chapter 13. Brand new section of book of Acts. And he came to Cyprus and then went to Galatia, which is the hometown of Paul himself. And his first preaching takes place right there in that town. Let's see what happens, okay? This is not working. Okay, Roman Empire, skip. Okay, let me just go right here. For those of you who are not familiar, Paul's missionary started with Antioch right here, third largest city in Roman Empire. This is Mediterranean, this is Cyprus, and this is Turkey right here. This is really the biblical geographic places. Started from Antioch, Salamis, Paphos, we just read it, went to Perga, and went to Pisidian Antioch. This is different than this Antioch. And in this city of Pisidian Antioch, he preaches first sermon. Okay. So Paul stood up, start preaching. Motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, You who fear God, listen. Okay, that's how they always start. Listen, Israel. Okay, listen to what the word of God says. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. With uplifted arms, he led them out of it. And about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel, the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, God raised David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Okay, so what is he doing in the beginning of his first sermon? Reviewing the history, okay? Just going back the history of Israel, starting from Abraham all the way to David, okay? So that's what we see. And what we see is Paul just going over history. And if you notice, it begins with God choosing his people, which is grace, okay? Paul begins with grace. God chosen his people, fathers. And for 400 years in slavery in Egypt, yet God made them free. God made them great. He begins with God. History begins with God. Okay? That's what he's doing. And then the great redemption took place through Moses. So he's talking about salvation grace. Again, grace of God. Right? And then 40 years in the wilderness, God put up with them in the wilderness. What does this sound like? People are ridiculous in the wilderness. They murmur, they complain, they want to go back, and they worship idols, and they fight, and they rebel. They continue to be ridiculous. God could have got rid of them. But Bible says, Paul says, God put up with them. God's long-suffering grace. He's talking about again and again and again about grace. And then God even fought for their enemies. For that, for 10 years, when they got into the land of Canaan, God helped and fought for their enemies, fought the land. In other words, God was so patient. And he's talking about God's grace. Okay, that's what we see. And after the conquest, God gave them judges, which is representative of the saviors. They just cannot help themselves. So God raised up leaders, and the judges would fight for them and lead a nation. And guess what happened? They fall again. And they just, they don't worship the Lord again. And then they cry out to the Lord, and God would raise another judge, and another judge, another judge. You see what's happening? As Paul reviewed the history of Israel, two things shows up. Number one, grace of God. Number two, man's ridiculous sinfulness. Okay? That's what's being exposed. When you review your life, can I just ask you, where is the history going? Is history going anywhere? If it is, where is history going? A lot of people try to speculate that. Is history going anywhere? Can I just tell you, Bible says history is going toward one person. That's person of Jesus. That's what Paul is doing. Do you know that? End of your life is going toward one person. That's the scripture. Do you know that? Whether you live in America, whether you live in Europe, whether you live in Asia, it doesn't really matter. Whether you're rich, whether you're educated, whether you're married, single, doesn't really matter. Your life is going toward one person. It says in Romans chapter 11, from him, through him, and to him is everything. Okay? I don't know whether you believe. That's what Paul is doing. He's talking about history. And he's basically saying Jesus is the culmination of history. That's where everything is going toward to. And that's Christianity. If you believe that, I think you're going to live differently. Okay? That's what's happening here. A quick summary of their history. Culmination of history is Jesus. And what we see is God's grace, and continue to be graceful, continue to be patient, continue to provide. Man, ridiculously, they're just, you know, rebelling against God, murmuring against God, and they're fighting against God. Continue to do that. So what should happen? They should be put to death. They should be destroyed. They're self-destroying themselves. So they need a savior. Right? To this people, God sends savior. Okay, next. So he begins to talk about Jesus the Savior. This man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a savior. That's through David. Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, what do you suppose to that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation, referring to Jesus. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him, nor understand the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfill them by condemning Jesus. Verse 28, and though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written on them, they took him from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Okay. The second section of Paul's great preaching is about Jesus. Okay? And it's basically divided into two sections: his life and death and his resurrection. And what he's saying is, you know, Jesus came and he had no sin, but you killed him. But you know what? That has been prophesied hundreds of years ago. Yesterday we were talking about this. Can I just ask you to think about this? Someone predicts something that's going to happen hundreds of years later. And let's say you predict 10 different things to one person, and that's going to happen hundred years later. What's the probability? What's the probability? So you predicting something, right? And 100 years later, 10 different things will happen to one person. I don't know exactly what the number is. It's 1 to the 10 times to a power of 10, negative 10. But you know what? It's not just 10 prophecies. 2,000 prophecies about one person of Jesus was fulfilled. Do you understand that? Right? His birth and his life and his riding on a donkey. Right? He even said, people casting lots for his clothing. And even what he says on the cross, hung on a tree, referring to this is the Messiah, this is Jesus, this is the Savior, that has been prophesied all along. Second thing that he's talking about is, you killed him, but God raised him, okay? He was resurrected. But basically what Paul is saying is that even the resurrection is predicted in the Old Testament, in various places, in Psalms, in Isaiah, okay? Could you go to the next? Okay, but God raised him from the dead. And for many days, he appeared to those who had come up from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. 500 people saw resurrected Christ at once. 500 people, eyewitnesses, right? And the apostles. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. In other words, resurrection of Messiah was prophesied hundreds of years ago, and now it is fulfilled. Not only his death was prophesied, but his resurrection was prophesied, and that person is Messiah, the Savior of the whole world, and that's Jesus. That's what he preaches. Okay? History is going toward one person. Now that's the Savior that God has brought through the history, through the line of David, and he is prophesied. He's the fulfillment of entire scripture. I'm going to try to go really fast today because of all the testimonies, and you know, we have to finish up. And the last part of his sermon is this. He invites. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe him? Are you going to just continue to harden your heart, living in your own way? If he is the culmination of entire history, and if he's the Savior, now what are you going to do? That's basically Paul's preaching. It's pretty strong. You know, I had a chance to travel with this pastor who studied in England for many years, you know, Pastor Chen, and I had a great conversations. And one of the things that he told me, if you listen to Spurgeon's preaching, all these great men of God preaching, their preaching is strong. It's not politically correct. It's not. It's not for the human ears. It's very, very strong. And Paul's message is pretty strong. He is the culmination of history. Your life is definitely heading toward that. And he's the Savior and he's the Messiah. Entire scripture, 2,000 prophecies, is about this one person of God, the Messiah. And he died and he was resurrected. Now what are you going to do? That's basically what Paul's preaching is. Okay? Invitation. I just want to think about a couple things. When you look at history reviewed, Israelite history, we see God's favor. Okay? God is gracious. God has chosen them. God made Israelite great. And God saved them from the Egyptian slavery. For 40 years, he fed them. They were complaining, being ridiculous, but God is patient toward them, okay? God fought for them. Basically, God sent leaders and saviors. Judges are saviors, you know? He continued to send them, and people are being ridiculous. And finally, everything just closes down when they ask for a king. Do you remember that? Israelites were asking, we want a king. You know, it's like speaking to the face of God. We don't want you to be our king. We want our own king. That's what happened. Even to that, God is patient. Okay, I'm going to raise Saul for the next 40 years and see how he fails. And he did fail. Do you see what you see? When you review the history, you see God's grace and man's just impossibility to live. That's what we need, we see. So what do we need? We need a Savior. To them, those rebellious, ridiculous Israelites, God sent his own son. Why? Because God loves them. Could you look at me? Seriously, brothers and sisters, would you look at me? I want to say something to you, to your face. God loves you. God really loves you. Every single one of you. That's Christianity. God loves you. God loves Muhammad. I'm talking about the men I met. God loves that Spanish woman who lost her husband and daughter in the last 3 months. Grieving. We ended up talking to her for 2 hours. God loves the Israelites. Who are those Israelites? Ridiculously rebellious people, just like you and me. Okay? What are you going to do? Are you going to believe him? Or are you going to just continue to stiffen your neck and live your life? Are you going to believe him? We talked about this last night in Next Gen Ministry. The great love of God toward great sinners like you and I. That's how great the love of God is. Right. Next. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that only through Jesus, this man, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed. Only through Jesus. It is only through Jesus. This is what Paul preached. What do you preach? He preached Jesus. He's the culmination of everything. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of the entire scripture, entire Christianity, 2,000 of them. Now, believe in him. That's what he preached. And then he kind of finishes the sermon with a warning. Okay? I don't think you would like that, right? We're so, I don't know. I don't think you will like that, but look at the way he ends his preaching. And by him, everyone who believes is freed and from everything from which you could not free by the law of Moses. This has, you know, probably shocked the Jews. All these years, to them, the law was like their God. And basically saying, no, not by the law. You will never be free or justified by the law, but by this person of Jesus Christ, you'll be free. Right? And then the warning. Be aware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. Will you believe? Brothers and sisters, you know what I noticed? Talking to a lot of Muslims. Not all Muslims are Muslims. There are so many nominal Muslims. I gently asked them, do you go to mosques? A lot of people say no. And then I gently asked them, do you read Quran, their scripture? No, I don't read it. And right away I know, this person is not really Muslim, other than being a cultural Muslim. And then when they said, oh, I read the Quran, and I asked them, what language did you read? Because they adamantly go with the Arabic language that people do not understand, because they believe that that's the only true revelation of Muhammad. So I asked them, do you read? And if they say yes, what language did you read? Arabic? And the next question I asked is, did you understand it? No. How about you? Do you understand it? Do you read it? Is that real in your life? If not, what are we? Will you believe him? If he's the culmination of history, trust me. That's what the scripture states. Everything is moving toward that day, the day of the Lord. Right? And he'll be the judge of the living and the dead. And our God loves you. That's why he sent the Savior beforehand, so that he will be condemned on your place. And you hear this, and you continue to reject it, just like what is predicted here. This is Paul's preaching. Great preaching of Apostle Paul. Don't blame me. It's the great preaching of Apostle Paul. Will you believe? What does it mean to believe? We talked about this last night with the youth and college students. I think this is what it means to believe, okay? If you want to truly be set free from the slavery of sin, it would say right here, forgiveness of sin, the freedom and the pardoning of sin is proclaimed through Jesus Christ, and you will be set free, believe, freed from everything, and you just need to believe. And what does that mean? I think it's more than you heard. And you kind of know. I think it's more than that. It's got to be more than that. So then what is it? From Romans, we see that it means to be united to his death and to his resurrection. What does that mean? You got to die to the way of your sinful way of living. Otherwise, you are not believing him. Otherwise, you are not really trusting him. You must turn from your sinful way of living. That's what it means to believe. And the second thing that must happen is that you need to walk with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, it says, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Is Spirit leading your life? Don't say I'm condemning you. I'm not condemning you. This is what the scripture says. Do you walk with the Holy Spirit? Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, implying that those who are not led by the Spirit are not sons of God, right? You need to be united with him. Second thing, I think when we say we believe, just like with all I am, we sang that song, right? Today, yesterday too. I believe in you. I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. You're the reason that I live with all I am. That's what it means to believe, isn't it? It's not knowing. It's not you heard of. It's not being in church spatially. It's surrendering everything to the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to believe? I want to just invite you. Seriously, brothers and sisters. Aren't you tired? I think, you know, Hannah mentioned it. I'm sick and tired of one foot in and one foot out. She's tired of it. Aren't you tired of that? Nominal Christianity? Just like when we talk to Muslims. Are you a Muslim? Yes, I'm a Muslim. Right? Do you go to mosques? No. Do you read the Quran? No. Let's just bow before the Lord.